The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Bristol Bay is kind of in the doldrums here. When will 34 million more salmon run inshore? Good afternoon and good evening. It's Saturday, the 1st of July. The run is still inside of 8 million. I'm Dave Benninger, glad to be on board with you out there today. Coming up, Paul Solomon weighs in on the missing push in Ugashik and especially Igigig.
The size of the signal and the weakness of what we've seen inshore so far are definitely cause for concern. I'm not quite ready to get panicky about it yet, but it's definitely something we're looking at.
We'll tag along for an opener aboard the Olivia M, which is buying fish for Icicle in Igigig, and catch some more reaction from Naknek waiting on the fun.
My concern is that not only will it be late, but it might be super compressed as well. And I just think that some operations aren't set up to handle 20,000-pound days, especially multiple 20,000-pound days in a row.
That's all ahead on the weekend edition of your Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Programming on KDLG is made possible in part by a donation from Chamai Community Health Center, proudly serving Naknek, King Salmon, and South Naknek. For more information, call 246-6155 or online at chamaichc.org.
Catch this program nightly at 6:10 and 2 a.m. on AM 670, early shows here on the weekend at 1:30. And always online at kdlg.org. You can keep in touch at fish@kdlg.org or give us a call at 907-842-5281. Phone ringing off the hook this morning. Skipper's looking for crew. Hope things are going okay out there for you. Keep in touch. Let's start with a summary of the run by the numbers. This is catch and escapement through Friday's count. The total harvest yesterday was just 62,700 sockeye across the bay. That brings the cumulative catch this season to 5.32 million fish. The total run with escapement is now 7.99 million, just about 8. We'll break that down by district here. Ugashik, no catch reported on Friday. Cumulative there still 140,000 fish. Escapement yesterday was a measly 408 sockeye. Cumulative is 828. In-river estimate of 10,000. Total run to the Ugashik district is 150,000 fish. Igigig catch set netters on Friday, landing 6,500 sockeye. Season total to Ugashik harvest right now, 1.56 million. Igigig River escapement was 25,200 on Friday. Season total escapement, 226,000. In-river estimate of 25,000. That brings the total run to the district currently 1.82 million fish. That's out of a preseason forecast of 10.6 million fish. Naknek, Wejek, no fish reported harvested on Friday. Season total catch, 95,800. Naknek River escapement was 8,300 sockeye yesterday. Season total, 71,500. Escapement goal range for the Naknek River is between 800,000 and 2 million fish. Wejek River escapement, 3,800 fish Friday. Season total just 6,300. Wejek River escapement goals between 2 and 10 million fish. And the Alagnac project is up and running with a tally of 444 on Friday. Season total there, 3,500. That puts the season total to the Naknek-Wejek district now at 177,330 fish. Again, that's out of a preseason forecast of just over 16 million. Catches really dropped off in the Nooshigak yesterday. 55,000 fish harvested across the bay, or across the district. Season total is 3.5 million. Escapement numbers to the Nooshigak district, starting with Nooshigak Kings, 1,017 were counted past the Portage Creek sonar. Chinook totaled this season 34,835 out of an in-river goal of 95,000. Word in from Fish and Game on the Nooshigak District King Harvest commercially so far this season, the tally is 21,515. Wood River counted 107,000 more sockeye past the tower on Friday. Season total there is now 1.13 million fish. Left off the Nooshigak Red Escapement. Yesterday was 43,000 sockeye. Season total, Nooshigak sockeye, 1,090,000 counted as escapement. And the Agushik Tower counted 13,400 sockeye Friday. Season total, just inside of 100,000 fish. Agushik River has an escapement goal range of between 150,000 and 400,000 sockeye. Togiak fishermen landed 1,200 sockeye Friday. Season total, 23,600. Still no counts from the Togiak Tower to report. 23,600 is the total district run so far in Togiak. Again, the total harvest this season is 5.3 million sockeye out of an estimate of 27 and some change through the preseason forecast. The total run is 7.9 million. The average sockeye per drift delivery reported only out of the Nooshigak for yesterday, a whopping 74. 74 sockeye per drift delivery average in the Nooshigak district yesterday. Nooshigak district allocation right now, 78.6% drift harvest, 19% Nooshigak set, 2.4% Agushik set. Let's run down your vessel registrations. Vessel and permit, that is. Ugashik permits, 198 as of 8 o'clock this morning, registered to fish, climbing to 216 in 48 hours. That's on 147 vessels, climbing to 161. 51 D boats, expecting 55 D boats in the next 2 days. Igigig District, 469 permits, climbing to 490 in 2 days. That's on 360 vessels, climbing to 374. 109 D boats going to 116. Naknek Kwejek, 309 permits as of this morning, climbing to 317. That's on 272 vessels, climbing to 280. 37 D boats currently registered to fish. Nooshigak fleet is slowly thinning down just a bit. 617 permits registered this morning. None added or subtracted earlier today. That's on 477 vessels, 140 D boats. Baywide total drift permits registered to fish, 1,632 as of 8 o'clock, going to 1,679 in 2 days. It's on 1,295 vessels out fishing the waters today, or on the hook, waiting to fish the waters today, going to 1,331. And across the bay, 337 boats have two permits aboard. I want to mention the Area M North Pen catches. Bigger day reported Friday with 181,000 sockeye out of the outer Port Hyden to Bear River sections. Season total there, 1.13 million fish on the books. Nelson Lagoon fleet bringing in 6,600 sockeye. Season total from Nelson Lagoon is 66,200. Port Muller's catches from Friday came in awfully late last night. Here's that tally. The daily index was 54, down from 62 the day before, but Scott Rayborn pointing out the big catches from Station 10 on Thursday, the net had been fished twice for a total of 60 minutes. Cautions folks to keep that in mind. Yesterday there were 59 sockeye across the transect in the 4.5 and 57 sockeye in the 5 1/8. Raw catches by station. Station 2 had 8 fish. Station 4 had 20. Station 6 had 30. Station 8, 34. Station 10, 23. One sockeye landed at Station 12 and Station 14 reporting no catch, did not fish. Temperature out there continues to climb a bit. 9.9 degrees was the mean station H2O temp in Celsius. Dr. Scott Rayborn did issue an interpretation of some of the catches yesterday. Here's a brief excerpt. He says, catch and escapement have declined in recent days. However, the daily catch index at Port Moeller continues to show the run building at least through June 29th. So we can expect catch and escapement to pick up through July 6th and 7th. That is assuming a 7 to 8 day travel time. He says we cannot know what Port Moeller will do in the coming days, and strong catches through yesterday and today mean that Port Moeller is not early. Past 3 years are clear examples of strong catches at Port Moeller continuing through July 10th, which we did not know was going to happen on June 30th. In each of these years, CNE followed suit and surpassed their preseason forecast. He says, using an in-season forecast for the coming days, we can place 2017 in context to previous years with respect to cumulative catch and escapement through July 7th and their eventual run timings and magnitudes. So far, Port Moeller is indicating that the run is at least 1 day late. Increasing or at least sustained catches at Port Moeller for the remainder of the season will push this estimate even later, which means a later and larger run is more likely. 3 days late puts the run at or above forecast. We'll have more with Dr. Scott Rayborn on this show next week, we hope. That is your daily run summary on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by generous support from Bristol Bay Native Corporation, following a Fish First policy to sustain and promote the economic and cultural value of wild Alaska salmon in the Bristol Bay watershed.
Thanks for keeping it tuned in to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Just after his noon announcement, I spoke with Egigik and Ugashik Area Management Biologist Paul Solomon with one main question. Where are those fish?
The Port Moeller signals, considering how Nooshiegak has done, is really got a scratch in our heads, particularly when it comes to Egigik, because it's a fairly large chunk of what we've been seeing out there, according to the genetics, but we're not seeing it inshore. I have heard some folks talking about some fish between Egigik and Ugashik, and I'm not sure how to characterize it, but there seems to be something there showing, and it's just not moving anywhere. So we're kind of in the same situation we were the other night with Egigik having some fish in the district, but they don't appear to be in too big a rush to commit.
Again, when you mentioned the Port Moeller numbers, based on their, I think it was July 4th or June 14th to June 27th catches, it looked like about 30% had genetic signals for Egigik. That seems probably about usual, I think, but the timing doesn't seem usual or something else is happening. Do you have any theory on what that might be?
Well, here and seeing what we saw the other night with those fish in the district, they just don't seem to be ready to commit someplace. I think they're just kind of hanging out there for some reason, and I can't really put a finger on it. The few samples that I've heard about in some of the plants, the roe is still very green, so it could be something that simple. They're just not ripe and ready to come in yet, which is kind of strange, but, that things do happen. The size of the signal and the weakness of what we've seen inshore so far are definitely pause for concern. I'm not quite ready to get panicky about it yet, but it's definitely something we're looking at.
I know you have some drifters down in Ugashik that are getting a little antsy on the hook. Most of them probably got down there oh, at least several days ago, some more than a week ago, are ready to get another big season in like last year and really slow to take off here. Do you have anything to offer to those folks? Anything you've noticed yet?
Well, you just said it. It's very slow to take off. My daily escapements would be poor hours in most years. Right now, we're not even 1,000 fish at the escapement project yet. So I definitely don't know what's going on with that one. But it does mirror some of the historic years we've seen, not recent ones, but back in time, there's been other years where they've seen a slow start like we have there now. The in-river indices are nudging upwards, but not in any kind of, you know, big volume sense. So there are some fish that are trying to move in there. We do have a 14-degree water temperature. It was about 55 or 56, and that could be a partial explanation of it.
As in it's a little warm?
Yeah, I think the ocean's still mid to high 40s. So if it's, you know, 10 degrees difference, that could be a partial explanation for it. The other one is that we haven't seen in the limited Port Mulder data that we have, we haven't seen a whole big Ugashic signal yet. The last one that came out 2 days ago did show some Ugashic fish in it, fairly good strong sign. So we're kind of waiting for that one to show up. It'll be here in the middle of the week if there's anything to the travel time.
All right. Paul, what do you make of outer Port Hyden's catches? Looks like they did another 180,000 yesterday. That's after several days in a row of about 135,000. And Bob Murphy says some of his escapements are off the charts at a few of the weirs in North Penn. What do you make of that compared with a slow start to Ugashic?
Well, again, he does have fairly good numbers down there. I've been tracking his stuff as well. And once again, going back to the limited information we have about Ugashic, there doesn't seem to be a very strong front-end component based on what we've seen out of the Port Mulder genetics. Another one that came out over the week was that Tyler Dan did a breakdown of genetics by station from the 14th to the 27th. And there's a lot of fish distributed offshore where we don't normally see them. So that offshore kind of offset of the whole transect shows Ugashic fish way outside, out to, I think, stations 10 and 12. And inside as well. So it's fairly broadly distributed. We just haven't seen much of a sign of it yet, and we certainly don't have anything moving upriver. So again, I think we're faced with the same thing as Iggy, where they're just kind of hanging out off the mouth. I've heard fish down there as well, and they don't seem ready to commit yet, if they're in fact Ugashic fish.
As you look out over the next couple of days, what do you say out to the fleet listening here today? What do you need to see to get some more fishing time going?
Well, I'll look at the Ugashic first. If the situation presents itself like we had earlier in the week, where we have a little mass of fish and some body of fish in the district, I'm going to let it go upriver. Once that happens, we'll talk about what happens next. So I'm kind of waiting for escape, just like everybody else over here is. But I want to see it move upriver this time before we take a bite out of it. And I'll take whatever it is. We're supposed to get westerlies tonight. That may produce some changes in the daily thing down there. So we'll see how it goes.
And with Ugashic?
Same thing, only more so. We need escapement. That's pretty much the bottom line.
All right. Paul Solomon, it's good to talk to you here today. I just have a feeling we're going to be into a big season in a couple of days, I hope anyway. But I suppose you and Travis are getting antsy along with the fleets out there waiting for some opportunity on the east side of Bristol Bay. Paul, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Dave, anytime.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Sunset in July, rockers by my side, stars flying by, watching you dancing in heaven.
We don't have a lot of official details this morning, but word is in today that a bucket brigade was able to contain a fire at a set net cabin on Nooshigak Point. Apparently a crew bunkhouse caught fire yesterday evening. Dillingham Police and AST were made aware of the fire, as were other state agencies, in case it spread to the open tundra. No injuries have been reported. Hope all is well there. On the other side of the bay this morning, drifter Gabe Dunham on the fishing vessel Oracle shared thoughts with KDLG's Caitlin Tan.
The fish are obviously going to be late. I mean, they're tracking more closely to, I guess, last year's timing than sort of the average, depending on which set of years you look at. But my concern is that not only will it be late, but it might be super compressed as well. And I just think that some operations aren't set up to handle, 20,000 pound days, especially multiple 20,000 pound days in a row. You know, the smaller boats that can't pack quite so much, or that have only two pickers instead of three on the back deck, are probably going to be adversely affected in a super compressed run. So I'm just kind of hoping that it's late, which it obviously is, and that's not a big deal. But as long as it's kind of is distributed over the same number of days to keep it from being too compressed.
Tell me about the last opener.
The last opener was really slow. It was a good chance to get our net in the water and kind of get the crew used to running hydraulics and stuff like that. But it was pretty slow for us, like it was for everybody. I mean, we did get to have that celebratory first fish for dinner, so that was kind of cool, but hopefully it picks up.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost, what you knowin'? I come to watch your flowers growin'. Ain't you got no rhymes for me?
Again, a note out to fishermen for Alaska General Seafoods, Icicle Seafoods, Leader Creek, and Ocean Beauty. Your companies have generously agreed to accept pounds as donations during this year's KDLG annual fund drive. You can check in with them. We'll have specific details on that. But a big thanks to those companies for helping out. Others might still join. We know it's difficult to make a pledge during the pledge drive, especially if it is during one of the busiest weeks of your season. We think this might be an easier way to connect to help keep programs like this on the air for the years to come. Thanks to those companies. The Igigig District saw some fish early on, but things have certainly slowed down a bit as of late. The Drift Fleet did have an opener Wednesday night after 2 days of some buildup. The boats, along with set netters, delivered 162,000 pounds through the day Thursday. We sent KDLG's Nick Shalino down to the district this week to find out more. He was aboard the tender Olivia M through the opener and sent back this report.
How much?
203.
213.
No, 20.
All right.
Okay.
The Icicle tender Olivia M was built in response to a big year in the Alagnac River. She was designed to hold more than 100,000 pounds without drawing very much water, allowing fishermen to deliver large quantities in areas where other tenders would go aground. Her skipper is John Duckin.
It was real slow. Really slow day.
Duckin is referring to the deliveries early Thursday morning. The Olivia M sat on anchor up the Igigik River by the Icicle plant during the 3-hour drift opening Wednesday night, but most boats and other tenders were at the head of the river where the fish were. Duckin says when the run picks up, so will the fishing effort upriver.
Last year and probably later this year, there'll be fish up here, up the river, because we're quite a ways up. And a lot of the guys do real well up here when there's fish. So normally there's, 10 boats that fish up here that deliver us and that do okay. Right now the fishing's out at the head of the river, and the guys that have delivered didn't want to wait in line out at the other end.
Alex Most of the fishing vessel Braden was the first to drop off fish to the Olivia M. He says he's pleased with his catch for the brief fishing period.
It was all right. Got a couple thousand pounds, I think. Nice weather. It's a good day to fish. We were just up by Red Bluff, which is not quite so far out. A lot of fish there. A lot of boats.
The next to deliver was Stephen Haney of the Lady Colleen. He says the timing of the opener only allowed for him to set his gear once.
It screwed up when you fish an hour and a half into the ebb because it's a one set deal and it's done because the fish are not moving into the district from the north line or the west line. So you get what you get and it's done.
The Olivia M took fish from just one other boat Thursday morning before delivering 7,600 pounds to the docks. John Duckin says recent history suggests things will pick up in the Igigig District soon.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. You know, last year it did this. There was a real slow period, and then it picked up and was really good. And the year before it did the same thing, so we're kind of hoping for that this year.
The Igigig District has recorded a total catch of 1.5 million fish out of a forecasted 8.5 million on the season. The district is closed today for aerial surveys. In Igigig, I'm Nick Shalino.
That's just about it for today's show. We have no messages to send out to the fleet. If you'd like to put something out to family and friends out fishing the bay this season, fish at kdlg.org or dave at kdlg.org. We're happy to share those here over the air. One song request came in for some John Fogerty. We'll include that just after this show wraps up here in a moment. Your marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay waters looks like north winds of 10 knots today, shifting out of the west to 15, seas 2. Tonight, National Weather Service predicting west winds of 20 knots, seas pushed up to 5. Sunday, some more fishy weather there with west 20, seas 4. Sunday night, west 25, seas 4. And the outlook so far for Monday, west 20 knots, seas 4. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, today, northwest 15, seas 4 feet. Tonight, west 20, seas 4. Tomorrow, west 15, seas 5. Tomorrow night, west 15, seas 5 feet. Keep in touch by phone or email. Catch this show nightly at 6, 10, and 2, and at 1:30 p.m. on the weekends. It airs 7 days a week, and we are dedicated to covering the most dynamic salmon fishery on Earth. We do so with the generous support of our underwriters and individual donations from listeners and you, the fishing fleet, with help from everybody here at KDLG. I'm Dave Benninger. Good night, good fishing. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you. Don't
You know I